Thank you because we are still in the land of the living. Thank you because you will never forsake us. Thank you because you never leave us comfortless. Father, we thank you for that sacrifice on the cross. You died in order that we can be set free. Thank you for that blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. Lord, on accord of us, every single one of us, this blood will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because your blood will fight for us. Your blood will defend us. Amen. Your blood will stand for us. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, every single person under the authority of my voice this morning, your voice will not be in vain concerning their lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Mighty God, we bless you. Thank you for the way you started with us this morning. Inhabit our worship. Inhabit our praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. There is no one like you. Mighty in battle, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, always doing wonders. We magnify you, the soon and coming King. We magnify you, the Lord of hosts. We magnify you, the mighty one of Israel. We magnify you, the Lord, the King, the one strong in battle. We magnify you, the one that will do all things that are possible. We magnify you, we give you praise, we give you worship. We exalt your holy name, the Adonai, the El Shaddai, the man of war, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We bless you. We give the bread of life. We give you praise. The commander of our soul. We bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we worship. Amen. Amen. Go and raise a... Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You know, somebody saw me this morning. I think it was at the minister's meeting. And they said, Pastor, we love your beards. You know why I'm wearing that? A few weeks ago, I thought to myself that I will not shave until Arsenal wins the Premier League. That will be long. That will be long. I know Wale would say, never. Don't worry. God is on the throne. He's a faithful God. Amen. You know, the Bible says he gives strength to the weak. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, some people think it's their role to win it every year. The tide will turn. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 You know, for the last... For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the family, the things that constitute a family. We've spoken about parenting. We've spoken about singleness. We've spoken about who a father is, who a child is, who a daughter is. We've even spoken about the attitude of a servant in the house. Amen? And then this morning, we're going to try and bring this... session or this season to a close as I share with us the habits of a successful family. Amen. You know, there are certain habits that you find in the family that will be successful. Amen. And the reason we're sharing that with us this morning is that you will go back and then you have a look and see if some of these habits exist in your family. And if they don't, then you need to begin to look for ways to begin to implement them in your family. Amen? For those of us that, every single one of us belongs to a family. I'm sure you agree with me. Every single one of us belongs to a family. And I'm believing that even for those of us that are not yet married, some of the things that we're going to share this morning, you will be able to use them when that time comes. And my prayer is that for as many as desires a life partner, your time will come.
Amen.
And it will come speedily.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 14, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. I'll read from verse 14 to 15. Joshua was speaking to the children of Israel, and he gave them this counsel. He was advising them, and he gave them this counsel. From verse 14, it says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And the guy was so determined. He said, as for me and my house, there is no negotiation. We are going to serve the Lord. Amen. You know, I said earlier, we're going to look at the habit of successful families. Over 200 families, I read in a survey, over 200 families were given questionnaires. And the question in there was that, what makes a successful family? And there was so much response. And when these questionnaires were collected and collated, there were certain things that jumped out at them. So this morning, I'm going to try and mention 10 of the most important things that these 200 families mentioned, amen, in the order of, I will start from the least important, but I'll try and mention 10. Amen. One of the first things, when you look at the questionnaires that was put together, one of the first things that appeared in a successful family was that it's a family where children are disciplined and with love, and that discipline and love is consistent. Amen. It says, in a family, I said, success in family, it says, the first thing they looked at was that in that kind of a family, children are disciplined with love, and that love and that discipline is consistent. In other words, you will see things like firm but loving discipline. It keeps order in the home. In any house where the child or the children rule, chaos is not absent. In any house, any family, where is the child that rules? Where is the child that gives the instruction? Then chaos is found in such houses. In such a house where you have successful families, there are certain things that need to be in place. Priorities need to be set. And whenever there are priorities, boundaries also need to be set. Amen? One thing you will notice, particularly for those who have children, is that when you set a boundary, children, being who they are, will always want to cross that boundary. And you know why? Proverbs 22, verse 15 puts it this way. It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Amen? You know, some of you might say, oh no, my child is not so. It is well. Amen? But in any successful family, it's not going to be the kind of family where the child is the one that rules the house. Amen? And for that child not to rule the house, I said earlier, there have to be priorities set. And when there are priorities in place, boundaries are established. And when boundaries are established, the consequences for those boundaries being broken are also explained. Amen? What happens most times is that you find that the children would push that boundary, but again, the parent would make a huge mistake, as in saying, if a parent says, I will do certain things where the boundaries, the priorities are explained, and the consequences are in place, and then the parent says, if you cross that line, this is what I will do. Problem occurs when the parent does not follow up with whatever he or she says he will do. Amen? Whenever the parent doesn't do that, what you are saying to that child is that it is okay to do something wrong and then get away with it. Even our God is a God of consequence. The Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Death. Is death. Amen? So whenever priorities are set, there are also boundaries. And anywhere where you find boundaries, there are also consequences. Amen? Allow your children to suffer for the consequence of bad choices. What happens in there is that they will learn from what has happened. Amen? You know, most times as parents, you want to protect. And that's why we find sometimes in adulthood, when someone is now an adult, but because they don't know consequence, when they do something wrong and you apply the consequence, what happens? They will struggle. Why? Because they have not been taught so. Amen? But wherever there are priorities, boundaries have to be established. Wherever boundaries are established, the consequences for whenever those boundaries are broken has to be explained. In any successful families, the mother and the father do not disagree in front of the children when it comes to discipline. Amen? They do not do what? They do not disagree concerning discipline in front of the children. Oftentimes, you find out that the mother or the father does not agree with, they don't agree with one another, and they do it in front of the children. Whenever that happens, you have given that child an opportunity to run to either one of you when something is not right. It's okay to disagree, but not in front of the children. I remember a few years, and when I'm saying a few years, I remembered when I was still very young. In fact, I remembered the very first time I threw a tantrum, or rather, maybe it was the last time. I won't say the first one. I remember the last time I threw a tantrum. My mother was in the kitchen cooking, and I remember the story very well. I went into her while she was cooking. This was late in the evening. And I said to her that I was going out to play with my friends. This is something I've done all day. And she said to me that, no, you cannot go. It is too late. And even that guy, I really don't feel comfortable you playing with that particular chap. Immediately she said it, I threw myself on the floor. I remember kicking my leg or whatever. In the process of kicking, I think I turned away from her. You know the spoon that they used to stir? That she was using to stir. I just realized that there was a contact between myself and the spoon. Amen? That was the last time. Amen? Children will throw tantrums. It is normal. Are you with me? But there is a need for the parent to act as one. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Amen? I remembered also vividly three of my children, one after the other. I think I've shared this with us before. I remembered vividly when each one of them threw their tantrum. And I think that's the only time I remember. That's the final time. It was only once. Each one of them, I think maybe at similar ages, you do something, they want the phone or they want the sweet, and you say no, and then they put their bum on the floor, they kick and kick and kick. All you need to do at that time is just pull the child up gently and rub the bum. And that's it. Amen. You see, in a family, in a successful family, there are limits, there are boundaries, They are disciplined, and the consequences for those disciplines or for those consequences of crossing that boundaries, they are explained, and you also ensure that whenever they cross it, there's an action. Amen? Another thing that came up in the survey of the 200 family, in a successful family, it's got to do with money. A family where money is managed wisely and discussed openly. The number of marriages that the man hands a certain amount of money that the wife has no idea. The number of marriages where the wife has a saving hidden somewhere and the husband is not aware. When you look, when things like that happen in the family, you're asking for trouble. Amen? The Bible says in Genesis, I believe in chapter 2, verse 25, it says they were naked, but what? But they were not ashamed. Which means that there is complete transparency. There is complete openness. For any family to be successful, they have to be openness across board. Amen? In a family where money is managed wisely and discussed openly. Amen? A family where the children are taught how to, not just to give to the parents, but also to give to God. Amen? You know, I've said time and time again, a child that is not taught to give will not give to you when the need arises. If you don't teach the child to give, in fact, when you see a child, you know, children most times, they have difficulty sharing their toys with another child. You give the child a biscuit, another child comes, and straight away they say no. If you begin to think to yourself that the child is only a child, and you allow the child to get used to that, when the time that the child now needs to begin like an adult comes, that child will still continue to behave like a child. And it's got nothing to do whether the child is a millionaire or not. Because the child that you have not taught to, that is, you've not expressed the importance of giving to God, cannot give to you. Amen? So another important thing in the family is that money is managed wisely, discussed openly, and the children are taught to give to God. Amen? You will teach that child to pay their tithes, to give an offering. Amen? You will teach the child, you will explain to the child even why you're giving an offering, the importance of doing that. And you don't just teach, you demonstrate it. The child will see you doing it. Amen? I've shared the story of a child who was walking with his dad, and then he rolled up a piece of paper and then was lighting it. And the child said, the father said, no, it's not good to smoke. And then the child said, but I see you doing it. You know what children do? They will do what they see their father or their mother do. Amen? It comes natural. They learn so much from their parents. Amen? Another thing that came up in the survey was that household chores is shared by everyone. Amen? In the family, the father has their duty, the mother has their duty, the children have their duty. It doesn't matter how young they are. I remembered when mine were very young, maybe the ages of 4 or 2 and a half. They will set their breakfast table in the evening before going to bed. They will put the bowl, everything that they need in the morning, they will put it on the dining table before going to bed. They will bring out their uniform, their socks, their whatever. Everybody will set their socks, their tights, their whatever in a pile. So that when they wake up in the morning, everybody, you know where your things are. That is done every night before they go to bed. A 2-year-old should be able to do that. Amen? So each member of the family must have a chore in the house, a household task that each one of them, that they do. Amen? The number of families that I know sometimes that the husband will say, it is forbidden for me to enter the kitchen. Amen? In any successful family, everybody has their roles. Amen? The mother has their role. The children has their roles. The father has their role. Every member has some responsibility or the other in the house. Amen? You know, sometimes some men might say, okay, I'm not even supposed to enter the kitchen. You know, the Bible says that it's even okay for men to wash plates. So you guys will disagree. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 13. Can you please project it? 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 13. It says, 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 13. It says, and I will stretch over Jerusalem, the measuring line of Samaria, and plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a ditch, wiping it and turning it upside down. Amen. So it is scriptural. Amen. It is scriptural for men to wash plates. Amen. I remember the years back, my parents just left recently, and I remember the years back when we just got married. And the very first time they came to spend some time with us, you know, my dad at that time, he just couldn't fathom it. This guy washing plates and hoovering. And there was this particular day I was just hoovering as normal. My wife had gone to work. I worked overnight. So I came back in the morning. And then my dad and my mom, they sat down watching TV. And I was just hoovering. I've shared this with some of you guys before. I was just hoovering. And after I hoovered, packed it away, I got the pile of clothes to iron. And I started ironing. And I had this or something. I was wondering. At first I heard it, but I ignored it. Again, I heard that sound. And I just thought to myself, I turned to my dad and mom, that by this time they've been with us for about 2 months. So I said, oh, are you getting ready to go back? Or he said, no, we're having a great time. I said, I've heard the home before. And then I heard it again. So they said, oh, no. It's because we saw you that you were, as soon as you came back from work, you rested a bit, you were hoovering. I said, yes. He said, not long after that, you started hiring. I said, just in case you don't realize, we don't have house help here. They said, no, that's not what we're talking about. You are the only one we see just do work. You hoover, you iron, you cook. I said, okay. I said, I hoover and I iron. The bathroom, the toilet, the cooking, whatever, those ones are done. They said, yes. Someone else does that now. Don't you realize that is done? They said, yes. I said, okay. You only see me when I do. I said, in any case, I don't talk about people behind their back. When she comes back from work, we will. They said, no. I said, no. In other words, in a family that are going to be successful, in a successful family, the man and the woman needs to cover for themselves. Amen? And when I say cover, during counseling a few days ago, someone made an analogy that just took straight with me. Just the wife cooked a meal. And what happened was that when the wife finished cooking the meal, served it on the table, the family, everybody was, as they were about to eat, the husband tasted it first. And when he tasted it, he just noticed something. I said, oh, there's no salt in this food. And he went into the kitchen and he poured a lot of salt in the food. And when he did that, there was now too much salt in the food. So nobody could eat it. So he said, oh, there's too much salt. Oh, I made a mistake in pouring the salt in. So they went out for dinner. The wife was fuming. Like, why did you do that? We don't have enough money, and you're taking your family, everybody, for. But I've cooked. So later the guy now called the wife aside behind and said, the food in the first place was too salty. But if they had tasted it, they would have said, you put too much salt. So I did that to cover for you. Amen. You know, in a family that is going to be successful, a successful family, they need to cover for one another. Because if you don't cover for one another, you expose the other one. Amen. And a lot of that happened in a lot of our families. We don't cover for one another. When you see a family that is going to be successful, there is a need for them to what? Cover for one another. Another thing that came up in the survey was that the family that are going to be successful has to learn to cope with adversity. Amen. In the time of adversity, they have to learn to cope. They have to learn to be strong. They have to learn to be together. Amen. What happens most times when there is maybe the husband invested the family money and then the investment does not turn well? What do you think happens? Finger pointing. Amen. I knew that that's a bad investment. I told you that we should not go that way. But the family, a strong family that will remain together, has to learn to cope with adversity. They must deal with challenges and problems together. Amen? They must deal with challenges, problems, they must deal with it together. They must learn to cope together. Amen? They must learn to praise God, worship God, pray also together. Amen? Another thing that you will notice in a family that will be successful is that that is the kind of family that laughs together. Amen? It doesn't have to be anything funny. They just laugh. They just laugh together. You know, with us, we laugh at ourselves. We laugh with ourselves. In fact, one thing that we do in the house is that there will be some days that we just decide to pick on one person. And we all laugh about that person. And so the next time that person knows, okay, it's my turn today, and the person will take it well. Amen? We laugh. In a lot of families, when the father is upstairs, the woman is in the sitting room. When the mother is in the bedroom, the father is in the living room. And guess what? Watching football. And guess what? The children, they catch those vibes. Amen? So any family that is going to be successful has to be a family where they laugh together. There's something about laughing. It says a cheerful heart is a good medicine. What your laughter does to your heart, it makes it cheerful. Amen? So it's something that will happen or something that should happen in a family that is successful. They need to laugh together. Amen? Another thing that you see in a family that will be successful is that they will treat each other with respect. Amen? They will do what? They will teach each other with respect. You know what happens most times is that we relate with outsiders better than we relate with those in the house. Amen? We treat outsiders better than we treat the ones that matter to us. Amen? When it comes to being cautious, you treat someone outside. Good morning, ma. Good morning, sir. Good morning, whatever. But your own wife and whatever. Or your husband. Are you with me? In fact, you know, in Christendom, you see a lot of men, a lot of women. They will kneel for another man, but they will not do it for their own. Amen? So you find out that we should treat each other with respect and what? With kindness. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, come on and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen? So those that matter to you and the family, treat them well. Treat them with respect. Amen? Oftentimes, what we tend to do is that we take each other for granted. Amen? But we need to treat one another well. Amen? The number of times that you know before, there are certain things that you just won't find will happen. It just comes. It's just natural for yourself and the lady you're going out. You open the door for her. You see, sometimes the lady is coming through the door. It's just a normal thing for the guy to just after you. But now, you find a lady struggling with the baby in the car seat, having another bag. You know the one that even spins my head the most. You now see the husband now walking behind. It happens. Isn't that what happens? It happens. Amen? It happens. We should treat each other with respect. Amen? You find some of these habits or these traits in a successful family. Amen? In any family that is going to be successful, there are certain things that you also find in there. Time. They will spend quality time together. Amen? Time of fellowship. Amen? You know, sometimes when you sit your children down and then you ask them, you know, some of us think that once we just keep buying sweets and biscuits for those children, it's okay. But you go to work from 6 a.m. and you don't come back until 6 a.m. the next day. And you think that all that child wants is you just giving out money. Even your wife one day will tell you that, look, you need to take a day off. Let us spend time. You know why? Because time is key. If you don't spend time with someone, you cannot know them. Amen. So a successful family will have to set time aside, because time spent together is important. Amen. You know, most times we begin to think to ourselves, oh, the time will come. No, you have to look for the time and set that time aside. Amen. There are times when I realize that, okay, myself and my wife, we've just been so busy, we've not really had time to maybe sit down to talk or whatever. I will say to her, this particular day, clear your diary. Are you with me? We book appointment. It's not because we don't live in the same house, but we realize that sometimes we get so busy that we needed to make time. Amen? Time on its own will not come. You need to do what? You need to set time. Amen? Set time aside to say, okay, how is everything with you? What is happening? Let's set time. And when you set time, spend quality time with one another. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, some husbands might say, okay, you know, the last time we went to visit my parents, you know, we went out together. Visiting the in-laws sometimes is not an outing. Are you with me? Amen. You must make time an absolute priority. Amen. You must set time as very important. Amen. Another thing that took place or showed up in that survey was that the families that eat together, amen, eating together is also very important. Amen. You find out that anytime there is a party or anything that comes with food, you find out that there is so much relaxation. Amen. So I encourage families to spend time eating together. You find out that we get so busy that we don't even have time to have breakfast. We don't even have time to have lunch. By the time you get back from work, one of the children have had them with tabics, the other one conflicts, your wife maybe potato, you are having solid. There is a need for the family to come together regularly and eat together. Amen? There's a need for the family to eat and talk together. Amen? Another thing that is so key in the family that sometimes doesn't happen is that love has to be expressed. Amen? You have to take time to express love. You know, we take certain things for granted. And when something happens, you begin to say to yourself, oh, I didn't have enough time to express my love to that person. Amen? Love has to be what? Expressed. Affection has to be expressed in a family that is going to be successful, or in a successful family. You mustn't stop saying, oh, I love you, I care about you. Particularly for parents with young children. You find out that, okay, maybe at the age of 2 or 3, you can hardly do anything without taking them along. You are going to Tesco, you have to take them. You are going, and in fact, some of those students will say, no, you can't, I'm not going. But you know, you can't leave them in the house. But when they come to a certain age, even where you want them to come with you, they will say to you, no. And before you know it, that time goes quickly. Amen. So ensure that you spend time with your children, with your family. Express love every single day. Express love to them. Now my children are the ages where they are. You know, before we used to say, okay, come, let us go. Whether or not they want to go, they will come with us. But now as soon as we say we're going somewhere, they say, no, we're not going. I say, why are you not going? They'll say, adults party. All you do is sit down and then eat. Are you with me? So they say, no, we're not coming. I said, so what sort of party did you guys go to? It's the kind of party where they don't eat and then they dance all through. Or they jump. So, but as far as they're concerned, our adult party is so boring. We get in there, we sit down, and all we do is eat. So they're now at the stages where they're saying to us, we're not coming with you. Are you with me? And each of those children that you have, they might be young now. They also get to that stage. So at the time when they can still come with you, at this time, enjoy them. Amen. Let them know how you feel about them. Amen. Let them know that you love them. Let your husband, your wife, let them know that this is how I feel about you, that you are special to me. Let your husband or your wife know that the union that you both have takes priority over any other. Amen? Let them know, let him know, let her know that this union between me and you takes priority over any other. Amen? I was spending counseling some guys just last week. And we're talking about living to cleave. Amen? And the Bible says that you live, cleave, and then you become one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says to you first leave. It says, for this reason, the man will leave father, cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Amen? The plan of God is that the man and the woman become one flesh. So for them to become one flesh, the living has to be done well. When the living is done well, then there is a process of cleaving, which is joining, gluing together. And it's after that is done well that the one flesh can come to pass. So if the living is not done well, the cleaving cannot take place. If the cleaving does not take place, the becoming one flesh cannot take place. Amen? And in any successful family, the living has to be done well, the cleaving has to take place, and they have to then become one flesh. Amen? Because that's the plan and the purpose of God. Amen? So in any family that is going to be successful, love will have to be expressed. Amen? And then the number one habit that every family that is going to be successful has to have, or an habit that they need to practice, is that Christ is the center of that family. Amen? God has to be the center of that family. If God is not the center of that family, nothing is holding. It doesn't matter how much time they spend. It doesn't matter how much time they laugh together. It doesn't matter how much time they spend eating together. If God is not the center of that family, then there is a problem. Amen? If God is not all that takes place in that family, then the family cannot be successful. Amen. You know, the number of times where the father will say that we're going to church, and the child will say, no, I'm not going. And so once the child says they're not going, then the father doesn't go. Or the number of times where the mother will say, we're going to church, and the child will say, no, I am not going. The Bible says, it says, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. In other words, the authority with serving God or not lies with me. I'm not consulting you. So when the father says we're going to church, or the mother says we're going to church, we're going. Amen? So you find some of these habits in a successful family. They pray together. They fellowship together. They attend church together. Amen. They worship together. They pray together. Amen. Every successful family that you find, these habits will have to be found in them. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you're wondering that some of these habits are missing in my family, then it's not too late. Amen. There are certain things that you need to put in place for the family to be successful. Amen. It might even be the time for a member of the family to say, I need to recommit myself to God. Because Christ needs to be the center of that family. Amen. Christ needs to be, God needs to be the center of that family for things to happen in there. Amen. Any family without Christ, or any life without Christ, the life of crisis. Amen. Any family that God is not the number one in their lives or in the family, it's a family that they can't go far. It's not a matter of, you know, some of us might say, why are you cursing? No, it's not cursing. Any family that does not have God or Christ at his center cannot work. Why? Because it's Christ that brings the family together. Amen. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. So when you have a family where the father and the mother are in Christ, what do you think happens to the children? They fall in line. Amen. You know, some of us said, okay, let me leave my child until when the child can decide for themselves. No, children are not meant to decide for themselves until they reach a stage of adulthood. But how will the child decide for themselves? It's what they have been taught. The Bible says, teach a child in the way that he should go. And when he does what? Get older, he will not depart. He will not depart from what they've been taught. Amen? And guess what? A child sometimes, or the heart of a child sometimes, is like a soil. It is whatever you put inside of it that comes out. If you leave the soil on its own without putting something in it, what happens? Weeds start coming out. Amen? So a child, that's why you need to train a child in the way that the child should go. Amen? And the training is the responsibility of the parent. Amen? So the habits that you find in a successful family, it's a family where the child is not the one that rules the household. Amen? There are certain rules or certain roles that God has put in place. Amen. The father in the house, the mother in the house, and then the children. Amen. I remembered a story long back when my children were growing up. You know, I mentioned boundary earlier. If you don't set a boundary, I said earlier that children always push boundaries. Amen. I remember the years back, there will be times when maybe I'm studying or I'm in the process, I'm so busy doing something. And the children, one of them, or each of my children did that. They will have gone to ask their mom for sweets. And then she will say to them, no. And then suddenly they will just turn to where I am. Maybe I'm in the next room or something. I say, Dad, we want sweets. You know, in the process, because I'm so busy, sometimes I don't even raise my head. I say, just go and have it. So that they can give me peace. And they will go and get the sweet. They know where the sweet is. They will go and get it. Guess what they do? They walk straight back to where their mom is with the sweet. And their mom said, I told you no with this sweet. They said, Daddy said we can have it. Are you with me? So the mom will come to me and say, but I told these children that they can't have sweet. So I learned. So when next they come to ask me for sweet, I say, go and ask your mom. So they will say, Mom said no. I said, so you want to put me into trouble? Your mom said no. And so why are you asking me? Amen. In other words, what I'm trying to say to us is that these children are much more clever than you think they are. Amen. It doesn't matter how young they are. If they see the gap, they will milk the gap. Amen. If they see a gap between the children, within the father and the mother, they will milk that gap. That is why you don't argue in their presence. That's why you don't disagree concerning discipline where the children are. Amen. If a husband and a wife disagrees when it comes to discipline in front of the children, the children will run towards the one that they think will favor them. Amen. And it's not that you cannot disagree, but the disagreement should not be done while the children are there. Amen. Christ, again, like I said, has to be the center of that family. Amen. Christ has to be the center of that family. Amen. Can we just rise to our feet? I wanted us to pray for our families. You're going to ask that my family will thrive, my family will flourish, that the plan, the purpose of God for my family shall be established. Go on, just lift up your voice, 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 lift up your voice. You might be here, you might realize that some of these habits are not found in your family. But there is one key one. Your family has to be centered on God. Just lift up your voice and pray. That the Lord will be the center, that God will hold your family in the name of Jesus. Go on, just lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice. For fathers, for mothers this morning, I encourage you to make a fresh commitment to God. That my family, that Jesus, that God will be the center of my family. Go on, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, and just pray. Concerning your family, concerning your family, concerning your family, lift up your voice and pray. Concerning your family, that the purpose of God for my family, the purpose of God for my family shall be established. Lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice. You are not in that family where you are is not, God is aware that you are there. Just lift up your voice and ask that, Lord, my family will prosper, will flourish. That my family will fulfill your purpose. Lift up your voice. 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 And say, my family will flourish. That my family will thrive. That the purpose of God shall be established in our families. Go on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everlasting Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, every family represented under the authority of my voice, Lord, I ask, oh God, that they will fulfill purpose.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, every family here will flourish.
Amen.
They will prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I decree that you will be the center of every family here.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mighty God, I also pray for those maybe they are believing you for a life partner. Lord, I ask, oh God, that their time will come.
Amen.
And it will come speedily.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grant them their heart's desires, oh God. Lord, I pray concerning family again, that you bind families together with an unbreakable cord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, no weapon formed against any family here will prosper.
Amen.
Every tongue that rises up against any family here shall be condemned.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says that you will uphold every family here.
Amen.
Lord, I ask, oh God, that you uphold,
Amen.
That you defend,
Amen.
That you fight for every family
Amen.
Here. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says in unity you command your blessing. Father, concerning every family here, there will be unity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And your blessing will be evident in every family
Amen.
Life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We bless you.
Amen.
We give you praise. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.